Is that better? Yeah, that's better.
I'm not used to these gadgets.
There we go. Okay. So who else are we celebrating in the Christmas story today? Who else? Come on. Who else is all around the Christmas story? Mary? Joseph? Angels? Shepherds? Wise men? What else? Animals? King Herod? Innkeeper? Caesar Augustus? What did Caesar have to do with it? He made the decree that everybody had to travel back to their hometowns to get a census, to set up for the taxes, to pay their income tax and the real estate tax and all the other taxes that they had. And what else was going on? When you think of all those people coming together, that brought a lot of people. That really spurred the economy on, didn't it? Yeah, well, how about a show up front here? Okay, now, I'll try that. If you can't hear me, I'll throw the thing away. Then you can hear me. Okay, so we have all these people are very important in the whole scheme of the Christmas story. And I see our little ones are gone. I was going to ask them who Jesus was. I asked them about Jesus and whose mother was and who his father was. But We'll move on then to seeing that the Christmas story is a story that, can you remember when you first heard about the Christmas story? Even if you're 80 or something here, do you remember when you first heard about that? And you hear the whistle going, Lord God, bless those people and bless those who they're going to wait upon. You see that from little on up, most of us here knew about the Christmas story. We also knew about Santa Claus. We knew about the elves and all those things. But yet, as I grew up, I knew that Jesus was the real reason for the season. And thank you for all the Christmas carols you sang this morning that we worshiped with. Thank you very much for them. We see in this Christmas story the gentle carpenter, the gentle Joseph. You know, we hear a lot about Mary. Joseph, we don't always hear so much about, but he was also of the royal house of David. He was a man of peace. He was a man of peace who was always strong. He was an inspired man chosen to love and protect baby Jesus. Now, I'll tell you what, Joseph went through some harrowing times when he had to go through that decisions that he had to make. And you and I, in our lives, we have decisions that we need to make at times, and we wonder how we're going to get through them. But what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. What does God mean? Jesus mean. Sorry about that. Jesus means God with us also. So when we think about that, Jesus is with us. Jesus is with us. And if you look to Isaiah, you'll see that there are also names for God, names for Jesus that he was called. And we see that very clearly in the scriptures. God's love is a driving force for Jesus coming to earth. For his birth. What have we been learning about in the past 3 weeks during Advent? What did we learn about the first week of Advent? What? Joseph? What else did we're learning about love today. We had joy last week with Scott. What did we have before that? Peace. Peace. You think about that. Think about peace, joy, and love. Peace. Do you know what it's like to be in a family, to be in relationships, that there's peace, that there's love, and that there's joy? Not everybody has the opportunity to experience those kinds of things. Really, this week, as I was at a place, I was saying about family, and the guy said he hasn't talked to his daughter for years. And I just cringed inside and thought, wow. She's on to completely another state. Doesn't want to have anything to do with her dad. That just is hurtful to me. So we learned about peace, love, and peace, joy, and love. And we know that God is a starter and the one of all these. We have also, through our sin and disobedience to God's word, we earned the damnation of God upon us. But God loved us so much that he sent his only son to suffer and die in our streets, in our places, for us. We also see that in the sign of the virgin birth, which we're going to look at a little bit this morning, we're going to see how love intertwines through all of it. The sign, the virgin birth. What is the significance of the virgin birth? Can you tell me this morning? The curse that was on Adam did not pass through Jesus. Yes. The virgin birth was also a sign. The virgin birth was a sign, something that pointed beyond itself. Beyond itself. And the virgin birth, seeing that of Mary, a virgin, used by God, humbled by God, asked questions. How is this going to be? How do I know? I mean, if we were in those situations, how would we react? Well, I think God has called us in our lives to react and also to answer the call that God has for us. The fact is that Jesus did not come out of history, but he came into it. There's prophecies. You can turn with me to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. And you can turn in your Bibles or on your devices or whatever form you have the Bible in this morning. Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse evil and choose good. For before the child shall know to refuse evil and choose good, the land that abhorreth shall be forsaken for both. And then I'm looking at verses 9, chapter 9. Chapter 9, just back a couple pages there for you. Chapter 9, looking at verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. And then down to verse 6. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We see here the prophecies that were pointing to the virgin birth as a sign. Pointing what? It was pointing to the deity of Jesus Christ. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. What is said about the Son of God? And I'm just going to share a couple scriptures here with you. It was shared by the Father in Matthew 17, 5. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Or by John the Baptist, this is the Son of God, from John 1, verse 34. Or by Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Or by the demons, what have we to do with this, Jesus, thou Son of God? Or by the Ethiopian eunuch, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son? As you were baptized, you answered a question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, that Jesus is God's Son, and he brought from heaven a saving gospel? The other vows that we vowed when we were baptized. God is still accepting those to make a decision to follow him today. Think about that. What does it mean? If Jesus was a man and only a man, that is surprising. But if Jesus is God, as the Advent affirms, and as we believe, then that is sublime. For it means that we have a God who we can honor, we can love, and trust and obey. Just as the songwriter has put it, trust and obey, for there's no other way. Trust and obey. There's no other way. That being the case, let us give him our love, our loyalty, our praise and adoration. And that's what we were doing here earlier. We were giving praise and adoration to our God. To God, what he has done for us. Yes. Also, it means not only that God is like Christ, but also that God was in Christ. On one occasion, James Frudo remarked to the aged Carlyle that he could only believe in a God who did something. To which the old man replied with a cry of pain, "He does nothing? That is untrue. In the first place, it's a denial of everything the Old Testament says, for the message of the sacred writers is that God seized the initiative and acted decisively again and again on behalf of his servants. It is also untrue because it denies everything that Jesus came to do. For he came not only to reveal God's nature, but to show us the Father also to do God's work." And we have the testimony in John 17, 4. It says, "I have glorified thee in the earth." This is Jesus saying, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that you gave me to do." Jesus came with a purpose. What was that work? That work was redemption. That work was redemption. Jesus came to do the work of God. Jesus came as part of the Trinity. And work like being a Savior for you and me and for the world. Such work can't be done by a mere representative or an emissary, one sent on a mission from the divine. It can be only done by who? By God himself. By God himself. The voice of Jesus finds us at the depth of our being accessible to God only. And being what it is. Martin Luther says, "Sin is a knot which only God can unravel." Anybody ever give you a piece of rope and put a knot in and say, "Try to get it out"? Well, Martin Luther says that sin is the knot that only God can unravel. And God can unravel that through who? Through his Son, Jesus Christ, coming as a baby, but not staying as a baby, as I see in some of these Christmas displays. There's one going into Ephrata where they have the manger and the baby in the manger, and behind it, they have the cross. The baby came
to die. But the baby came to die for your sins and my sins so that we can have life and life eternal through him. This is the God the first Christians found Jesus Christ to be. And you know what? He is still the same today. He's still the same today. God was in Christ. This is the significance of the Advent, the meaning of the virgin birth, when God undertook to deliver man to the Virgin Mary. To the Virgin Mary. He used a human channel and came as a true God into the world. This is why Jesus is not primarily an example of faith, but rather an object of faith. Just as we sing, "It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." He is the subject of our devotion and the object of gratitude and thanksgiving. Weren't we singing about that this morning in those songs? And if you really you want to take some time, is look at the Christmas carols. Look in depth at what they're saying to us. What are they saying to us? Verse by verse, line by line. Or you want to think of Handel's Messiah. I didn't get to hear that this year yet, but I don't know if that'll happen. But you see that it's all intertwined, the message. In Christ, God is with us, with you and me. The word of the angel to Joseph, to the loving Joseph, was, don't give it a problem to accept Mary as your wife. She is pregnant because of the Holy Ghost, the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost. Think about all that Joseph and Mary went through. But they lovingly followed through on what they were asked to do. It means that Christ is with us in our world today, 2017, just about putting 2017 in the books and going on to 2018. For some of us, we've been around for a lot of years. We are not alone struggling against the vast forces that are in this universe. There's a lot of things going on in this universe just now. We have seen a lot. We've heard a lot. We continue to know that God is with us. Just as I remember watching somebody weaving with all kinds of thread, all kinds of colors put together, pulling that hoop back and forth to make that beautiful design is there. Weaving his design and accomplishing his purposes for our day and for our generation. For you and I. For your name. For your relationship. For your friends, family. Weaving a design and accomplishing his purposes. How do you see that? You see it after it's made. You see the design that the master weaver had in mind in that whole thing. But God is not only with us in our world, He is also with us in your life and in my life. That's the beauty of this thing. Individually, He is with us to strengthen us and to sustain us. Two S's, S and S. Strengthen and sustain. Or He is with us to guide and direct us. Or He is with us to comfort and console. This is a promise of the New Testament. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us." The power that works in you and me. Think about that. Nor is the promise to this life. In Christ, God will be with us even when we are done with this world, and when we cross the river to the other side, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is the assurance of our Lord to us today. Men and women serve such a God. Boys and girls serve such a God. Yes, let us love Him and love Him again to honor and glorify Him. Let us praise Him both now and forevermore. Let us serve Him in our life and in that is in which is to come. We're here today in 217. We know that some 2,000 years ago Jesus came. But you know what? We're sitting here today awaiting another coming. We're awaiting another coming. We are told to be watching and to be ready. My question is, are you ready? Are you watching for the coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ? Have you made the choice to be a follower of Jesus? At this Christmas time, there's many gifts. And for some of you, you may have your Christmas time already and you may have the gifts that were specially picked out for you. How about that? Did somebody pick out special gifts for you and you? You think they picked out special ones? Or did you give them a list of what you wanted? You didn't. Well, you know, to me, that's the thing about Christmas, I think. I think it's always more interesting to me when we see people get a gift that they weren't expecting to get. When you say, you know, give me a list of things you want. Or if somebody, moms, dads, take the time and pick out a gift that is very special they feel for their individual. Very special. Very special. Gifts. God, through His Son Jesus, gave us a gift here at Christmas. Jesus. May God's peace rest upon us as we serve Him throughout the following days. God in Christ, in the closing here, as we contemplate His coming, we are not just thinking of Him as an isolated figure as we would some hero of the past. In Him we touch something cosmic. We touch the infinite God. He is the door. Through Him we pass to eternal life. He is the way. By Him we are led to life's deepest truths. In Him we see God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the real reason for the season that we observe here on this Christmas Eve at New Beginnings. At this time, the praise team is going to come up and we're going to sing, "O Come All Ye Faithful," is that right? Yep. Thank you very much for the songs and thank you for your time of serving us and God through your worship time.